Toxic algae blooms continue to be a problem on the shores of Lake Erie, creating a safety risk for both humans and wildlife. As WKAR's Taylor Halterman reports, the state is trying to figure out how to best work with farmers to reduce runoff.
What an algal bloom looks like depends on which part of Lake Erie you're in. In some areas, the surface of the water is green and covered with scum. In other areas, the water may just be slightly green, but that doesn't mean it's less toxic.
But just because you don't see the scum, so as I said, sometimes the water may just appear to be kind of an off-green color, it doesn't mean those algae aren't there. Sometimes they're just dispersed in the water and they may still be producing toxin or other nuisance kinds of effects.
That's Craig Stow, a scientist at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Great Lakes Environmental Research Laboratory. He says the factors that cause toxicity are not well understood, as algal blooms can also be green and slimy without any toxins, and size has no effect. Blooms appear in ecosystems that receive an excess of nutrients like nitrogen or phosphorus, which the algae feed on. Stow says Lake Erie faced the same issue in the 1960s and 70s. There was too much phosphorus entering the lake in wastewater from sewage treatment and industrial plants. The state took measures to reduce those levels in the late 70s, and conditions improved by the 1990s. Then, the blooms returned, from a new source, in the 2000s.
It seemed that we had fixed the problem in Lake Erie, and we were good to go. But as we've learned more, we've recognized that they aren't really broken or fixed. You can control a problem through management, and that control has to be ongoing and may not have a clear end point.
The current algal blooms in Lake Erie have caused areas to turn green, slimy, and often foul-smelling, making the water undesirable for activities like swimming and fishing. In some places, the algae releases cyanotoxins that can impact the water quality in surrounding cities. James Johnson is the director of the Environmental Stewardship Division in the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development. He says much of the phosphorus in Lake Erie comes from agricultural water runoff because of its common use in fertilizer.
Phosphorus is a naturally occurring thing. Algae actually feed on phosphorus. Algae actually tends to be a very basic form of any healthy aquatic system, but too much algae actually ends up being a problem.
Johnson helped write Michigan's adaptive management plan for Lake Erie. It was first referenced in 2018 as part of a guide towards making the lake a healthier ecosystem. Johnson says reducing phosphorus levels is a large challenge because there are a lot of decisions that need to be made in agriculture, but the solution isn't one size fits all. Because each agricultural field is different, they will need to work with growers field by field to implement best management practices for each one. These are structural, vegetative, or managerial practices used to reduce water pollution. And there are a lot of options. Some potential practices are changes in application and amount of applied nutrients, putting in grass waterways to cause nutrients to drop out, and reduce tilling so organic material like weeds grow on the surface of the field to slow the movement of water in rainstorms. With how complex the solution to the algal bloom problem is, Michael Alexander, with the Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, thinks it may be difficult to reach their goal of reducing phosphorus from U.S. and Canadian watersheds by 40% in 5 years' time.
We're going to struggle to meet our goals by 2025. We're hopeful that we can, between now and 2025, show a significant amount of progress in nutrient reduction and implementation of BMPs and have a better understanding of how we can be successful and meet all of our goals. But it's going to be difficult.
Alexander is a manager in Eagle's Surface Water Assessment Section of the Water Resources Division. He's also been overseeing public comment for the Adaptive Management Plan. Public comment ended in June. Alexander says the most common point brought up is the need to better specify and communicate goals. He says the next steps in the process include responding to comments directly and in a document to put online, redrafting the plan, and putting best management practices into place. They will update this plan as they go, but have no date planned for release yet. For WKAR News, I'm Taylor Halterman.
Taylor's story is brought to you as part of a partnership between WKAR and Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism.